So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your presence here. I thank you that you are with us. I thank you that your presence is here. Again, I thank you. Come and be with us tonight as we go into your word and as I share this word that you gave me to the people as a matter of prayer, and that we can engage with your will and your ways for our nation. I thank you, Father God, that you guide us and you direct us. And I thank you, Father God, that tonight, as your word goes forth, you will ignite our hearts for prayer. In greater measure than ever before, you will ignite our hearts for prayer. I thank you, Father. I thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, your love. In your precious name, amen. So tonight, I'm going to share with you a vision that I had during our Seattle GOE, because I've been praying over this, and as I've been praying over it since we left the GOE, the Lord has been giving me some things to expect in the days ahead, and I want to share them with you as a matter of prayer. We know that we are in the fight for the soul of our nation. And we know the promises of God that are coming forth. And so we've got to stand on the promises while we bring our nation through the fight. And the call of the intercessor is to keep the nation stable in the midst of the shaking. It doesn't mean we stop the shaking, because the shaking exposes and uproots. It exposes and uproots that which the enemy has done. Policies, procedures, things the enemy has provoked within our nation has to be removed, and it has to be exposed. So the people of God will stand against it in the days ahead. So the things I'm going to share tonight are going to be, they might cause you a little pause, but they're exciting. There's a lot of exciting things God is going to do. So during worship in the Seattle GOE, I had a vision of the nation. It was dry and it was barren. Underneath this dry and barren land, and it was so dry and barren, it just looked like if you sneezed, it would blow away. It was that dry. But underneath it, I could see the skeletal system of the nation hidden under all of this debris. Within that skeletal system, at its core, was the heart. Suddenly, the skeletal system began to shake violently. The debris began to fall off the land and into the sea. The bones shook so violently, I thought they would shatter. Then the heart began to beat, and the skeletal system came to life. The muscles, the tendons, the tissue, the sinew, all of it began to form around the bones until it was a living, breathing nation once again. Our nation was reborn. It arose and it went forth, restoring other nations as it had been restored, awakening nations as it had been awakened. And that was the end of the vision. Now, I know we often think of Ezekiel 37 when the dry bones came to life, but what the Lord showed me was actually 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. So 2 Kings verses 13 chapter 13, verses 20 to 21. I apologize for that. So I'm just going to read it. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men coming, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived, and he stood up on his feet. Our nation bounced back like the man thrown on the bones of Elisha. I often think about that whole scenario. Who gave witness to this? Was it the men who threw the man into the tomb? Was it the man who was dead who landed on the bones of Elisha and bounced out of the tomb? Who gave the testimony of this event? It probably was quite the testimony, and I definitely think that there might be a two or three to confirm that as they shared this miracle. What this miracle of Elisha's after his death is more surprising than any of those he performed during his lifetime. The Jews regard this miracle as his highest glory. It may be said to belong to a class of scriptural miracles or cases where the miracle was not performed through the agency of a living miracle worker, but by a material object in which, by God's will, virtue for the time resided. For example, we see this in Acts chapter 19, verse 12, when they would send handkerchiefs to Paul and he would pray over them, and those handkerchiefs would go back out and they would put those in the hand of those who were sick and they would be healed. It's that type of virtue being released through something that really has no life. So that's how the Jews see this miracle of Elisha, is that this man was brought back to life after having touched the bones of Elisha. The nation of Israel was headed at this time into very dark days, but this miracle no doubt served to add weight to his unfulfilled prophecies, especially to those concerning the coming triumph of Israel over Syria. In the extreme state of depression to which the Israelites were now reduced, this miracle may have just been the thing necessary to encourage and reassure them to press in and press on. Now, I believe the Lord was showing me how, under the watchful guidance of the prophetic, the Lord will use the intercessors to bring this nation back to life. The Lord will use the intercessors to bring this nation back to life. One of the things that we see with, and you heard what Daryl was sharing in the praise reports, one of the things that we're seeing is they're trying to bring devastation to our nation through the LGBTQ+ agenda. It is an agenda. It's evil and dark at its very core, and we're seeing our children being captured, captivated by this. They're being manipulated in the innocence of their youth. And the drugs that they're giving them, it's devastating their bodies, devastating their bodies. In many cases, they will sterilize them permanently. At its core, apart from being unbelievably wicked, I believe it's a depopulation effort. But God has a plan for our youth, and He is bringing our nation back to life. So what was the heart that was in that skeleton that I saw? What was the heart? The heart of the nation is the church, and the biblical foundations the nation was founded upon were born out of the church. The church must be revived to their first love. They must come out of the world and up to God, where we can hear His will and His purposes and then pray and act accordingly. I've shared this before, but it bears repeating. In 1607, when Robert Hunt came to our shores, he was called here. The Lord sent him here 1607 to dedicate this nation and bring us into covenant with God. This was the prayer that he gave. Now, I will tell you that in April 26th of this year, they rededicated. They went and they repeated this covenant, rededicating our nation to the Lord. So we do hereby dedicate this land and ourselves to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to raise up godly generations after us. And with these generations, take the kingdom of God to all the earth. May this covenant of dedication remain to all generations as long as this earth remains, and may this land be evangelist to the world. May all who see this cross remember what we have done here, and may those who come here to inhabit join us in this covenant and in this most noble work, that the Holy Scriptures may be fulfilled. We revisit this covenant, and I pray into this covenant, and I share about this covenant because it stirs my heart about the purpose of God for our nation. But it's important that we remember, for a covenant to be fulfilled, the people of God must also do our part. We must engage with the will of God for this nation. We cannot simply rest on the covenant Robert Hunt made, but there is a legal authority and precedent set for us to petition the Lord for His mercy and protection of our nation. Before anyone settled here, our nation was dedicated to God and the spread of the gospel for the generations both here and abroad. This dedication was for the fulfillment of the Great Commission that we read of in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And that passage says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations." Now remember, this is just before Jesus' ascension, and He is speaking to His disciples, giving them the last commission that He'll give them before He ascends into heaven. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that's the close of Matthew's gospel. This commission is the same commission that we have today. That commission has not changed. 2,000 years later, that commission has not changed. And if you're a child of God, that commission rests on you. It rests on our nation. And it was under that commission that Robert Hunt came to this nation and made that declaration and entered into covenant with God. But like I said, it's important that we walk in the will and the ways of God. We cannot take a covenant for granted. We can look at Abraham and Sarah. They were promised a son, were they not? And they became impatient waiting for that promised one. So what did they do? They gave Hagar to Abraham and said, "Here, you can have Hagar." And what ended up happening? Ishmael. And then 10 years later, we have Isaac. And today, as a result of them jumping ahead of God in this covenant, Today we have the Middle East conflict. It's a result of them jumping ahead of God's plans, them not abiding by God's will. It's important that we see things through God's eyes. It's important that we, His children, follow in His will and His ways. That's when covenants meet and an explosion takes place as we see His will done in the earth. So how do we align ourselves with God in bringing about His plans and purposes for our nation? And so I'm going to give you, four things that the Lord put on my heart for us, the people of God, to align ourselves with God in bringing about His plans and purposes for our nation. First and foremost, the church needs to return to its first love. One of the goals of the Communist Manifesto from the Naked Communists is to infiltrate and weaken the church. Why? Because they knew, and they literally wrote this, if they could weaken the church, they could take the nation. They knew that the church was the anchor. It was the stabilizing force. They knew that the church, as strong as it was, would prevent them from being able to take over the nation. So they infiltrated the church, and they weakened and watered down the gospel. How did they do this? Well, they planted people in that church that would become pastors and teachers and worship leaders to, over time, weaken the church. They would present a social gospel. What is a social gospel? Well, the entire social justice movement, that's what a social gospel is. It's acceptance and inclusion. We don't reject people because of their sin, but we also don't accept their sin. We don't condone their sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all had to walk through repentance, but we do not welcome in and engage in and officiate same-sex marriage. We do not welcome in a woman's right to choose to abort her child. We do not welcome in the Marxist organization of Black Lives Matter. Those are social justice movements that have infiltrated the church and weaken the authority of the church. The church must return to its first love and re-anchor itself in the truth of His word. The church is called to occupy. Luke 19:13. What did He say? Occupy until I come. Occupy. When you occupy the place you occupy, the enemy cannot dwell. Do you know that? When the power of the living God wells up within you, the enemy cannot dwell there. The greater the Spirit of the Lord is within you, the more timid and apprehensive the enemy gets about attacking you. So when the church pursues God, pursues His word, pursues prayer, pursues true worship, and focuses on the word of God, His will, His ways, His precepts, the enemy cannot infiltrate. Try as he might, he'll be exposed before he can do any damage. The church must occupy. Number two, we need to prioritize God's plans over our own. Not only do we need to prioritize it, but we need to protect God's plans over our own. We need to remain active in our battle. We are at war for the soul of this nation, and we need to view this season with wartime mindset, wartime activity. We need to set aside distractions, our programs, our agendas, and focus on the battle that we're in for the soul of this nation. Remember, and this is so important for us to remember this, we war against the enemy, not one another. The enemy wants to get in there and distract us and divide us so he can conquer us. We war against him and not one another. Number three, we need to see events through the lens of the Lord. This involves the lens of prayer and scripture. When the enemy is as bold as he is today, he's using sports, he's using retail, as Daryl mentioned in all of the praise reports today, church, media, and education to target our children in the bold manner that we've witnessed in the past several years, but especially the past couple of weeks. We know we're on the brink of something. What that something is really has been stirred up by the Lord and prayed to the surface by the intercessors, those who stand in the gap for the nations. We've got to dig our heels in and fight, once again I say it, for the soul of this nation like never before. View things through the lens of the Lord. When you hear something in the media, when you see something on social media, you see a headline, you see a meme, don't just accept that. That's part of the problem that we're facing in our nation today. Is people live by sound bites, by headlines, and they are skilled. There are people that are hired for the very best headline that will grab the attention of the reader and not necessarily bring them in to read more. If they can mix in that headline, a little deception, a couple of lies, they'll do it. I'm going to give you an example. The Chosen series, you know, it's the one that's depicting the life of, not as much about Jesus, but about the disciples that he chose, those that he chose to follow him. So there's all over social media, there's this line that Chosen has caved and they're waving a pride flag. But if you go to the source, if you go to the producer, the writer of that series, and you hear what he has to say, you learn that that's not the truth. You learn that what's happening out there is a division in the body of Christ. You learn that they're just strategically trying to kind of surgically peel you away from something that might teach you something. As members of the body of Christ, I strongly encourage you, don't anchor yourself, your thoughts, and your opinions on headlines. Because I look at headlines about President Trump all day long that depict him as a terrible person. But if you read the articles, there's a lot of may have, could be, possibly, and a whole lot of lies. Don't gauge your thoughts and opinions, and especially about one another, based on rumors, based on gossip, and based on sound bites. Number four, we need to pray for and pursue the awakening. We know that there must be one last awakening before the Lord's return. The enemy knows this as well. Now, I'm telling you, we are looking. The Lord has specifically told me there would be over a billion souls in that harvest. Over a billion souls in the harvest of the awakening. There's some that are saying it could be upwards of 2 billion souls. Do you think the enemy is going to give in? He's just going to be like, you know, I'll just let them have their awakening and I'll just come get them after. No! He's going to fight with all he has to prevent the awakening from expanding and spreading the world over. Because if he can prevent one soul from bowing the knee to Jesus, he'll do everything in his power to make that happen. Everything. As Christians, we roll over very quickly. We need to stop. I know that's harsh, I'm sorry, but we need to stop. We need to fight for every soul. We're fighting for eternity for people. Eternity. The awakening is going to hit every nation that has not shut its doors to the gospel. And yet it'll still penetrate into those borders to get those souls destined for the kingdom of heaven. Do not let up in your pursuit for and prayers for the awakening. In the coming days, now these are five things that the Lord showed me is coming. These are the five things he told me I could share tonight. Five things. And it's going to take prayer from the intercessors. To help stabilize the nation in these things. So I'm sharing this with you for a matter of prayer, not for fear, but for prayer. We cannot let up in this fight. Number one, the church is going to come under great persecution. Through this season, we're going to see a greater purification come forth, though. Those standing on the word, pursuing God, will only be strengthened in this season. We as intercessors need to pray for the church to be strengthened, for their heart to return to their first love and be ignited by the Spirit of the Lord for the work that lays ahead. Now, I'm going to give you an example. In Afghanistan, when we pulled out of Afghanistan, there were people who are believers in Afghanistan. But when the Americans, when Biden, you know, pulled the Americans out of there, those that were Christians came under tremendous persecution. Tremendous. And our guys knew who they were and tried very hard to get as many out as possible. But while they were waiting to be pulled out of Afghanistan, the fire of God fell on them, and they had the faith to go to the guillotine if necessary for the kingdom of heaven. The fire of God burned within them. Those that were able to be brought here to America, and this is such a shame, When they got here, they cried out, "Send me back." Send me back. The persecution was great, but at least the fire of God was in that place. And their hearts burned within them to feel and experience God the way they did when they were under such extreme persecution. Why do I share that? Because there are people who are lukewarm Christians. And when persecution comes, they're going to feel the fire of God. And it's going to set them on fire for the kingdom of heaven. We need not fear persecution. You know, 100 days before the 2020 election, the Lord showed me that all of the effort that they spent persecuting President Trump would be turned to the church under a Biden presidency. And we're seeing that. But God is using what the enemy is doing to ignite a fire in the heart of the people, his people, where they are experiencing God in greater measure than ever before. Do you know that over in Pirate's Cove, that 4,000 people went there to be baptized in commemoration of the Jesus Revolution? 4,000 people went to be baptized to experience and partake of what God did in the midst of the Jesus Revolution. I can imagine what that looked like. God wants to ignite the heart of his people and set us ablaze with his holy fire, that we might endure anything the enemy might throw at us. Do not fear persecution. Number two, there will be wars and rumors of wars. We will see an escalation with Ukraine. But it's for greater exposure than we ever thought possible. We need to pray for our nation. And the pain of this exposure could be close to unbearable. But part of this agenda to push for war, but God will use it to, part of the agenda of the elite is to push us into World War III. But God is going to use this to expose the corruption that's in Ukraine. Expose the Bidens. And we're already seeing this. The Lord told me this over the weekend. We're already seeing it. We're already seeing it. There will be, number three, there will be exposure of human trafficking like never before. And I want to add to that, there will be wars and rumors of wars. I want to add to that something very, very important for us to remember. Just because the media is telling us there's a war, it doesn't mean there's a war. Things are not always as they seem. That's why we have to view things through the lens of the Lord and not our own flesh. Okay. Number three, there will be exposure of human trafficking like never before. In our Pentecost Jubilee, I was praying over human trafficking, and I saw the Lord raging through pathways like a father searching for his son in the debris of a collapsed house. He was ripping up walls, throwing furniture, boxes, etc., searching for the children. Last night, I learned that Operation Underground Railroad, which their movie is coming out in July, and I encourage you to go see it. It's about Tim Ballard and his story. And Mel Gibson, they're partnering to release a four-part series that will expose the depth of human trafficking in Ukraine and Hollywood. So it's coming. As the exposure increases, it will set the captives free. So we need to keep praying for those that are going to be brought out of that, that God will set them free, that he will heal them, and he will restore them. Number four, the media will get out of control. In their efforts to control the masses and fulfill secret obligations, we will see these talking heads become more excessive, aggressive, and even lose control on live TV. They will suppress the truth and expand their distraction techniques in order to prevent we the people from seeing the truth. Remember, they're driven by unholy covenants that they've made, so let's pray that God will make a way of escape for them. It's important that in the midst of chaos, this exposure, God is setting the captives free. So as the enemy brings distractions and he uses the media to really push this effort, we pray for discernment so that, again, we can pray and view things through the lens of the Lord instead of our own lens. And number five, the enemy will increase in his efforts to sever the heart of the church from the nation. Now, God says that the heart of this nation is the church, the true church, those called out of the world and up to God. Our mission is to pray for the church to re-engage with the purpose of this nation's founding. Why? So I'm going to give you a little bit of history on our nation, and then I'm going to close up. This nation, having been dedicated to the spread of the gospel, received decades of training in the Word of God by the Black Robe Regiment, even before the Revolutionary War. Our founding fathers pulled from those messages as they wrote the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. When they developed our government, they pulled from those messages and poured over the scriptures to develop a government based on biblical principles. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" When George Washington read this, he said, because of that, they needed to establish checks and balances in this government to protect we the people from an oppressive leader. So he went to Isaiah 33:22, and that's the example of the three branches of government that we have. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. So that gives us our executive, our legislative, and our judicial branches. Exodus 18 was used as a guideline to break down government from the federal to the state and ultimately the local levels. This is when Moses' father-in-law came and saw him and saw how he was judging people and that he was going all night and day judging people, and he said, this is going to wear you out. And so he told them, set up judges over this amount, and this amount. And the very difficult cases, let it be brought to you. Washington used that example to help separate power in our nation and create a federal, a state, and local jurisdictions. Such wisdom. So when the left and academia and the media and so on are trying to destroy this nation from its founding and separate this nation from its founding and the truth about its founding, they're trying to uproot biblical principles established to protect us from them. So we, as the intercessors, if we're going to see this nation bounce back, as God has shown me it will, as God has shown my mom it will, we've got to adhere to and remain focused on God's plans and purposes for this nation. And again, I say, we need to occupy until he comes. So I want to encourage you to stay the course. We are in one of the most epic battles of our lives, good versus evil. And in the eyes of evil, America has to fall for them to succeed, because we are truly the last stand against tyranny. And I saw what this nation will do when we're set free from the bondages of the elite. And then finally, I just ask you, please pray. Matthew 9:36-38. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth the laborers. We need prayer. Our nation needs prayer. And as the awakening increases, we need the laborers. You know, it's going to spread the world over. And every city, state, and nation will need the laborers. So pray into that as well. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this word that you've given. I thank you for this guideline. I thank you, Lord God, that you have shown your promises, that your promises are yes and amen, that your promises still stand, and you will get the victory in the end. I thank you, Father God, for the wisdom and the knowledge and the discernment and the understanding that you give your people. And we ask, Lord God, and I pray this over the intercessors, Lord God, that you would expand your wisdom, your knowledge, your discernment, and your understanding within them, that they can view the events that we'll see before us, Lord God, as we prepare for liberty in 2024, for your glory to pour in 2024, that, Lord God, they will stay the course and see the events en route to that day through your eyes, that they might pray according to your will, to your plans and your ultimate purposes for us, for the church, and for our nation. In your precious and holy name, amen. All right. Thank you, Daryl.